Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. We are so glad to be back in studio with Jacqueline.
Hello.
Because I literally almost fainted after yesterday's show. Like, the work between reading the Dear Toasters, getting all the stories, and I didn't have an iPad. I brought my iPad. It was obviously dead. I have a newfound appreciation for your contributions.
Wow. And thank you so much.
I couldn't believe how hard it was. Like, not only choosing the stories, which is a lot of pressure, but staying on top of the stories, because sometimes as we're sitting here recording, things break, like Kim's statement did yesterday.
Right. Very crazy. I watched the first half of yesterday's episode. I'm so excited to treat myself later and watch the second half.
I never watched our episode, but I did watch it because it was funny.
I absolutely love a snitch on the toast situation. It seemed as though she was so snitchy. Of course, Snatchler did not learn her lesson.
No.
That much is clear. But just to have her back on this show, it's such a treat. And you know what? I have a newfound appreciation for this show for a few reasons. One, I was watching you in The Snatchler, and it was just so fabulous. Like, I felt truly like a toaster. I had the experience of, you know, looking at the set and the girls and the vibes. They were completely steamy. I will say that.
Yes.
And two, not being here yesterday, I really had FOMO of missing the show. I just love this show. I love participating in it. I love watching it. And I just have appreciation for the show.
No, sometimes you need to take a step back in order to see the big picture.
Yeah.
And that's what you did yesterday. And I'm so glad that you were able to have that moment. You know,
I had that moment. I had that perspective. I was upstate in the Hudson Valley. Just this state, when you get outside the shithole that is New York City, is fabulous.
Bucolic, some would say.
It was so bucolic. We had a nice day trip. I got back this morning. We drove back this morning, so I was able to listen to the radio. The radio hosts call Thursday, Friday Eve. And
hosts?
I just thought, I don't know, whatever I was listening to in the car.
Interesting.
So I just have like radio host energy today.
Well, that's great. I have Taylor Swift energy. So I came to the show, like, I literally walked in and the room was just a little bit brighter. Like, I have an extra pep in my step today because I was delivered this morning just the most wonderful, fabulous, exciting, and unexpected piece of news.
Right.
And we are obviously going to talk all about folklore. But it gave me like a little extra pizzazz.
You have some oomph.
I have oomph for sure.
Yeah, super oomphy. I can't wait to get into
oomphy that. Vibes only.
Oomphy vibes only. Yeah, I mean, it's weird to talk about anything other than that right now, considering that's like, you know, the thing of the day. And Demi Lovato, like, props to her as well.
There is one flaw in this show. It's like the way that we format it. Sometimes there's like such breaking news that of people literally only tune into the show to like hear about it. And we have to like dilly dally for 10 minutes before we can get into the fast five.
Well, we don't have to dilly dally. And I feel as though if I wasn't off yesterday, like, we now have so much catching up to do. Like, it's a whole 24 hours where we didn't really chat so much.
No, I know.
So I feel like we could talk forever, but I guess we could get right into it and just breeze past.
But if we don't dilly dally, then we have a TDAP 24 minute show.
That's very true.
So let's dally.
Claudia, that's true.
Speaking of, has everyone watched my comedy special yet? I'm sure you have.
I saw a lot of people watching it last night. Oh, Theo just propped up. He wanted to let you know he saw it. He thought it was beautiful, and he wants everyone to go and stream it.
Hi, beautiful boy. Hi.
Hi, beautiful boy.
Hi, angel.
He's looking super angelic today. I don't know what you fed him.
Well, it's really not hard to look angelic when you are an angel.
It's true. But I feel like even angels have bad days.
No, even angels have flaws.
Yeah.
It's a real message to everyone. Nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. You've got to work it.
So I think it's okay. Do you want to tell us anything about your day? Like, did you see a moose?
I did not see a moose, but I brought some farm fresh eggs here to the show straight from the coop. I'm so excited. I'm going to go home right after this.
You're so Hannah Montana movie.
I'm so Hannah Montana movie. I'm literally going to make farm fresh eggs right after this. They're one day
old. I'm getting farm fresh eggs for breakfast. That's such an iconic scene in the movie when she's like trying to catch the eggs from the coop.
Yeah. And I think that these eggs were made by, you know, happy, loved chickens.
Right.
And I think I'm going to taste that in my scrambled eggs later today.
Are you, did you actually go into the coop and gather?
No, I did not.
So the crate was made for you?
The crate, yeah. It was a pre-made crate, but like of a 10-minute-old egg.
Much like the crates you get in the grocery store.
No. But I saw the chickens.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Like, isn't that exciting?
Honestly,
and now that I'm gotten into cooking a little bit in quarantine, you really have a new appreciation for the ingredients that go into your food.
Yeah. I mean, now that I've started cooking and like putting my hands on raw meat, like I totally understand vegetarianism. It's so sad and disgusting.
Yeah.
But I just love like pasta bolognese too much.
I know, but you could use Beyond ground meat. You liked what I made.
I mean, like I could. I'm not gonna lie. When I did eat your bolognese, like I just ate the pasta, not like the fake meat.
Well, that hurts.
But it gave a good flavor. Words can hurt.
That's so you. You just like the flavor. Like, even when you dunk your chip in salsa, you don't get any of the mass on it. You just get the watery. You just get a light coating of salsa.
You are fucking exposing me right now.
Right. That's so you. It's so
cute.
Yeah,
no, it is so me. Like, I don't scoop up the nasty, soggy vegetables. People who do that are disgusting. I just dip my chip in the liquid, make it a little moist.
You should get restaurant style salsa. I accidentally bought it a few weeks ago and it's exactly your type of salsa.
It's just the liquid?
It's just the liquid.
Interesting.
It's not good for me, but it'll be good for you.
Like, if I was in the dating scene, which I'm obviously not and I never really was, but if I was and like I invited a guy over and like we had chips and salsa and I saw him scoop up like huge amounts of like soggy ass vegetables, I would literally tell him to get out of my house.
There's no way that your own husband doesn't do that.
Oh, he does. But see, that's what marriage is. It's accepting someone for their flaws. When you're dating someone, like you're looking for red flags everywhere.
Yeah. And so that would be a deal breaker for you.
Yeah, big time.
And I guess Ben like hid that tendency of his.
Yeah.
Until it was too late.
But also in his defense, like when we first started dating, I was being like a liar, you know, and I was like, oh, I love salad. You know, like I was pretending like I wasn't a 4-year-old. So I had to pretend to not be grossed out by his salsa tendencies.
Got it.
I do eat things weird. Like, that's a good call.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's just something cute about you.
No, I'm so cute. It's crazy.
Yeah, you just like a little portion. You don't need much.
Well, because that's like my stepping stone. I used to just eat chips without salsa because to me, salsa is like literally the epitome of all things disgusting. Like vegetables, wet, soggy, spicy.
We get it.
And then I'm like, there must be something to it because people seem to really enjoy chips and salsa. And then I was like, oh, let me just dip my toe in the pond. And I never really evolved past that.
Yeah. And
that's okay.
But it works for you. And you know, it's different strokes for different folks. And I would never, ever yuck your yums.
No, I would never yuck your yums either.
Except that's what you've been doing.
All the time. Whatever.
It's okay.
So I'm just really feeling. Okay, thanks. I'm really feeling like it's time.
Okay, yeah. I think it's time. We talked about salsa and eggs long enough to hit you with the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And while that may be true, I would, ooh, do you feel
no,
that?
No. I might have some Pepto-Bismol if you
need. Have some RDH.
Alleviation medication.
You have some RDHAM?
Yeah.
Whew. I think I'm okay, but I'll let you know. I'm feeling like, you know, you get that like bubbling in your stomach after you eat some salsa. It's like a feeling of like you're feeling remiss. You know,
it's like RDH reflux.
Yeah, because it's like this devastation and this heartbreak like coming back up for the second time. So I don't want to. I think the only way to really truly get rid of it is to let everyone know that today's episode is brought to you by our Patreon channel. Yes, that's right. Patreon.com/TheMorningToast. What is Patreon, you ask? It is our subscription service. So if you love this show and you can't get enough and when the weekends come, you're lonely and sad, head over Patreon.com/TheMorningToast. You can subscribe to our premium content channel for $7.99 a month and you can get 5 extra episodes every month. And the episodes are pretty diverse. They're either vlogs. We're doing a lot more vlogs in quarantine, but there's also podcast episodes. And once you sign up, you actually get access to the full library. So we've been doing Patreon for like 2 years. So once you pay now, you can literally get access to over 200 episodes, both podcast and vlogs, tons of great vlogs, tons of hilarious podcasts. We have sisters, guests. It's really the morning toast, but like we're digging a little deeper on there because, you know, we're behind a paywall. We feel more secure. We're opening up more family stuff. So again, that's patreon.com/themorningtoast for $7.99. And that $7.99 also gets you access to our Facebook group, which is only for Patreon members. It's called The Toast After Dark. And it's pretty much the greatest subgroup. Well, actually, subgroup on the planet. So I would really recommend becoming a Patreon member. And people, the reviews are in and
people are loving
they're sickening.
And our next Patreon that we're going to try and film this weekend is a great idea suggested by someone that I'm so excited, also like nervous, and I don't know how we're going to pull it off, but
it's going to be good.
It excites me.
Excitement does excite me.
So it's therefore exciting, much like our first story of the day. I'm just going to get straight from the horse's mouth on Instagram.
This is going to be fabulous, fabulous, fabulous.
Taylor Swift, I don't know if you've heard of her. She's like a small little artist.
I think she like kind of teeters between country and pop, but she's really on the rise.
Yeah, she's on the rise, and she's dropping an album tonight at midnight. It is her 8th studio album, and it is called Folklore.
It's hard to pronounce. Called Folklore.
Folklore.
The L is like, it's a light L. It's not like fuck, but it's
folklore.
It's folklore.
It's folklore. Obviously, this harks back to the clue that she dropped a few weeks ago.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my God. Okay. I totally forgot that when we were doing our Zoom episodes, I wanted to put it out there that there was like a folklore. Was that the word we defined?
So she just gave like a Tumblr account this clue, which is the definition, textbook definition of the word folklore.
Little did we know folklore was the album.
Right.
But those Tumblr things always end up being true.
Yeah, but we could never even have dreamed it was a whole ass album.
No, because this is such an unlike her thing to do, because she is Easter egg, bunny rabbit, everything, like map,
Da Vinci
treasure.
Code, and the Swiftie code.
For her to just like write something.
Seven palm trees.
Five holes in the fence. Like, for her to just like write something and then put it up is like such a foreign concept to us Swifties. Like, this feels like a prank.
No, this feels like a gift.
No, it is the most generous. I'm so humbled by this announcement. And it's really proving that Taylor Swift is just like a woman of the people. And she knows that like people are just bored and struggling. And like all we needed was this.
Right. So here's the caption. Most of the things I had planned this summer didn't end up happening, but there is something I hadn't planned on that did happen.
This does sound like the beginning of a pregnancy announcement.
Oh, I guess. But the photo is super moody and far away. She said, and that thing is my 8th studio album, Folklore. Surprise! Tonight at midnight, I'll be releasing my entire brand new album of songs I've poured all of my whims, dreams, fears, and musings into. I wrote and recorded this music in isolation, but got to collaborate with some musical heroes of mine. Aaron Dessner, who has co-written or produced 11 of the 16 songs. Bon Iver, who co-wrote and was kind enough to sing on one with me.
Throwback Thursday to Bon Iver.
William Bowery, who co-wrote two with me, and Jack Antonoff, who is basically musical family at this point, engineered by Laura Sisk and John Lowe, mixed by Serban Ginina and John Lowe. The album photos were shot by the amazing Beth Garbrandt. Before this year, I probably would have overthought when to release this music at the quote perfect time, but the times we're living in keep reminding me that nothing is guaranteed. My gut is telling me that if you make something you love, you should just put it out into the world. That's the side of uncertainty I can get on board with. Love you guys so much. I love that last bit, by the way.
I love that message. It's so true. Like, that really is what quarantine has taught all of us, is like nothing is guaranteed. You can plan all you want, but you know God is up there laughing in your face. I'm just thrilled. Like, there are so many elements of this that excite me to the nth degree. The first is obviously like a whole new album. Like, I feel like I just got done really like laying down with Lover, and now it's just a part of my repertoire. And usually I have to wait like a whole other year from that point to a new album. So obviously just the sheer fact that it's coming and we don't have to wait like 2 months or even a week. Like, it's literally here tonight. The second part that's so exciting is that this is a dual announcement, because there's also a music video coming out for the song Cardigan.
Yes. And she also posted that the album will have 16 songs on the standard edition, but there'll be a deluxe edition with a bonus track. But there are 8 deluxe CD editions and 8 deluxe vinyl editions that are available for 1 week, and they're all different from one another. So there's just like so much fanfare to be had.
Can you read me the track list?
Yes. The One, Cardigan, The Last Great American Dynasty.
That. Like, can we just talk about that? Like, that reminds me of
Miss Americana
and the Heartbreak Prince. She loves like a Rhode Island, Ethel Kennedy American history moment, and we respect that.
Exile featuring Bon Iver, My Tears Ricochet, Mirrorball, Seven, August, This Is Me Trying, Illicit Affairs, Ooh. Invisible String, Mad Woman, Epiphany, Betty, Peace, Hoax, and then the bonus track is The Lakes.
I'm going to say that Betty sounds like it might be one of my favorite songs. Something about the name.
Something about this whole vibe. And, you know, she goes hard on aesthetic when she's releasing an album. And so this is really a departure from the Pliny vibes of Lover. And now it's a little moodier.
Well, so we have to dive in. You know, Taylor Swift is multi-genre. She is country. She is pop. And this is giving me not a country vibe. It's more in that direction, but it's not country. Even though you hear folklore, you think it's like folk music with a banjo. I don't think that's what it's going to be. This is giving me like more emo, alternative, like Bon Iver.
This, I think I would mix, say it's a mix of Kacey Musgraves and Billie Eilish.
Yes. Oh, what a fabulous.
That's the mood I'm projecting.
Math equation.
That predicting will be this album. But I mean, that sounds fabulous. I think whatever it is, it will be fabulous. But she does go ham on
a theme.
A theme, even Reputation. Mm-hmm. So she, this is all black and white. It's very, you know, it's kind of reminding me, and I think this is what folklore is, and she says it's her dreams, her whims, her musings. I feel like these are all going to be like diary entries of every feeling she's ever felt, just really getting in her feelings.
I mean, if that's the case, like, ugh.
And I feel like these songs were made for the Quarantines playlist. You know, that's the mood.
100%. I don't think she would be releasing like a pop EDM album right now.
No.
Because it wouldn't make any sense. There's nowhere to listen to it. But she knows that people are home. People are like sitting on their porches if they have them. So jealous. And they're looking for like a nice, slow, emo song to get into.
You know what song I think it's going to be most similar to from her catalog that we already know?
Do tell.
The Archer.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like just...
That is like very much a Kacey Musgraves vibe.
Moody, vibey, like heartstrings tugged. That might be one of my favorite songs of hers.
I'm almost just like not ready. Do you know what I mean? Like I literally...
No, I know. You have to get ready. You have to spend your day today clearing your mind so that you have the space to let this in.
I feel like I just truly processed everything that is her most recent album, Lover. And I finally like put together my official ranking, which took me a really long time. And I don't know. I just... There's something sad about, like, not that it's going anywhere, but you're departing from, like, a certain era and moving into another one, which is so exciting. But I really loved the Lover era. I feel like it was one of, her, like, her best in the sense that, like, she was so happy with herself and, like, the place in her life. And, like, the Pliny and the colorful and the sparkly, like, that was great. And I'm sad to be moving on from that, but I'm embracing this new era with just open arms. I think this is so fabulous. I cannot thank Taylor Swift enough for being the most generous person. Like, this is exactly what we needed. This is so fabulous. Your fans are just so grateful for you every single day, and I just love you and thank you.
Yeah, this is really, really exciting. Hopefully tomorrow we will have, you know, some of our initial thoughts, but we will definitely need the entire weekend to ruminate with this. So come Monday will be the official.
It wouldn't be appropriate, honestly, for me to say anything about the album tomorrow because it just wouldn't be, it wouldn't be fair.
I hear that, but I do think sometimes it is interesting to just share your first impression of something and then how it changes
evolves
over time.
Totally.
So I will want to hear your first impression just as a Taylor Swift stan, what you think this means for the Swifties, etc. And then we'll get into it on Monday.
I already bought the merch. It's like this sickening cardigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's like knit and chunky and has like patches. It's actually really cute.
I love a cardigan. I've just been ordering so many cardigans. I don't know what I'm going to wear them with, but I love them.
I know. I'm assuming it's the cardigan referenced in the song Cardigan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure though.
I really can relate to a cardigan moment.
Yeah.
That's very much my vibe.
It's a thrill, you guys.
So just, it's a thrill.
Swifties, we don't have many days like this. Like, some artists, like, love to surprise their fans. Like, we don't get this. Like, we get everything meticulously planned, which we love. But just enjoy it and take it in.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good day.
Take it in. It's so exciting. Okay. Next story, some more exciting, happy news. Demi Lovato and her boyfriend, Max Eric, are engaged. Quote, I knew I loved you the moment I met you.
I think it's Max Ehrlich.
There's no L.
What?
Yeah, I know. I was ready to say Ehrlich and then I
thought it was Ehrlich. Like, that's there, like such a Jewish last name.
I was ready to say Ehrlich and then there's no L in the title, in the copy of
sorry,
this People
okay.
magazine article.
Interessant.
Yeah, you just assume it's Ehrlich, but I think it's Eric. He popped the question on Wednesday, less than 4 months after people revealed that they were dating. Max asked Demi to marry him in Malibu, California, with a stunning, sickening, gigantic diamond ring by celebrity jeweler Peter Marco.
Fabulous. I mean, this has been a very under wraps relationship. I honestly forgot that they were dating. And if it weren't for like the fact that he was playing piano on Instagram Live once and she came in and gave him a kiss because she didn't know he was on Instagram Live, I don't think anyone would have even known that they're dating. But part of me makes it think like this could be it, the one for her, because those private relationships are always healthier and always more legit than the ones, you know, Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas, like literally flashing themselves in front of the paparazzi every 10 minutes.
Yes, but you know, the more that time goes on, just I'm waiting for an engagement announcement from those two.
Oh, I heard that they broke up, like inside sources. Like, I don't stand or
sell my ship.
I don't stand or ship like whatsoever. Oh. I made no investment in their relationship.
Oh, I very much did. But we love a happy Demi Lovato. I don't think it gets any happier than this. These pictures are beautiful. She looks so happy. They look like such a happy couple. I'd love to get some happy Demi news.
We love a sickening, sickening engagement ring.
We do. And we also love, you know, any sort of emotion from our favorite artists that might compel them to write a fabulous album.
Yes, that is true. I mean, wait, did you watch the Demi Lovato YouTube documentary?
I can't remember.
It was really, really interesting. And her love life has had so many different phases. And she's obviously, I think, someone who like likes to be in a relationship and like likes to feel loved. And I feel like, I don't know, part of me thinks that like this might be it.
Yeah. I mean,
he's so cute.
He's so cute. I love when, you know, the biggest stars in the world date a normie.
Yeah, me too. It's the best.
And I think it bodes well for the future.
And I would just like a wellness for check on Mike Johnson, because this truly could have been him.
This could have been him. She was obviously ready for
like
the
in
real
a place
deal.
In her life,
in
right?
A place where she's ready to settle down.
Yep.
And
he just blew it by asking to kiss her on the first date.
Yeah.
Is that what he did? He did something weird.
I don't know. I remember there was like some tea in the group that someone like was sitting next to them on their date and like just the conversation. I can't.
Mike Johnson is so funny. Like every time I think of him, I think of like him trying to ask Keke Palmer out on a date on her TV show, which, by the way, got canceled. Strahan, Keke and Sarah, which is so strange. I thought it was such a good show.
I thought it was such a good show, too. I thought it was such a great idea and it really had a future.
Yeah. And like all those people kind of moved on from big projects to do that. Like Michael Strahan was obviously Good Morning America, right?
Yeah, but it was a part of GMA. It was an hour of GMA, so I'm sure he'll just be back to a different hour.
Yeah, no, I know. But then also Sarah Haynes used to be on The View. Keke Palmer like gave up acting for a while to do this every day, and you would think that they would give it more than one season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or maybe maybe.
But a lot of people were projecting, I think I maybe mentioned this, that Keke Palmer's next move could be filling in for The Real. Because there's a spot open. And I think that I still actually have high hopes that it could be Rachel Lindsay, because someone DM'd me on Instagram. She actually is moving to LA. So like
makes you think.
But Keke Palmer would be a fabulous selection as well.
I completely agree. I look forward to seeing who that choice is.
Me too. And I wonder when we're going to find out.
That'll be some big hosting news. And we love some hosting news.
Huge hosting news.
Okay. Next story. So exciting. One Direction will be launching an immersive website as their 10th anniversary treat.
I don't know if I would say exciting. As a 1D-er from day one, I was a day one 1D-er. That's good. I expected more than a website. Sorry.
It's no reunion, but 10 years after forming, the band is getting back together virtually, that is. Oh, I wonder if they would have had a different plan if we weren't in a pandemic.
Maybe.
The currently defunct boy band supergroup is preparing a new 1D anniversary website full of immersive offerings, interactive playlists, and activations across digital platforms, according to a press release. The site, set to launch on Thursday, that is today, will be formatted as a timeline of the group's history from their first audition to the beginning of their hiatus. What is that, like 4 years? Is this a joke?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit, I think maybe it's 5 or 6.
History.
Yeah, it's so.
You and me
got a whole lot of history. No, no. We could be the greatest thing that the world has ever seen. You and me got a whole. Like, this is just. It's good, but it's not great. And it's not really what I was expecting. I mean, would it be so hard for them to put together one song via Zoom, like a new song? Like, why would that be so bad? They're not getting back together. They're just releasing a song.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a stripped down version of one of their other songs. I don't know. I just feel like
yeah,
there was a website. Really? What is this? 1999?
No, this is just not for me. But I hope that there are some people out there who will get joy and pleasure from this today and have a great day and then go into midnight and have a great day tomorrow and a great weekend. And, you know, it's hard. The good thing to have a good day.
It's so, as a One Direction fan, it is so hard to have a good day. And, you know, at least they have so many albums. And I actually listen to them all the time because their music really was sensational. And I think for...
Sensational.
When they were doing it, they thought they were doing like corny boy band, like bullshit pop bubblegum music. But it really was... Exceptional.
Yeah, that I'm always looking for good albums to do Peloton scenic rides to. And I think I need to add some 1D to my repertoire. I don't even know what the best album is. Maybe it's 4. So Mature.
So Mature. And it's misleading because you think that it's the one without Zayn where there are 4 members, but it's actually just, I think, their 4th album.
Yeah.
And speaking of Zayn, I'll be interested to see if he posts anything on social media. I saw some of the boys posted like pictures and I did see Zayn included. It wasn't exclusively like the 4 of them, which is nice because... He really was a part of the band, even though he did, you know, his best to take it down. I'm very curious if he'll be posting anything from Bucks County.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. If he doesn't, that would be lame.
That would be lame. Like, recognize where you came from. Honor your past.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I really loved One Direction just as much, if not more, without Zayn. Because you could tell, you could feel the toxicity he brought, especially towards the end of his time there.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want, this is how I feel about like life in general. I don't want people around who don't want to be here.
If you don't want to be here, you do not have to be here, like, 100%.
If you don't want to be a part of my favorite band, I don't need you in the band.
No, the band is still my favorite with or without you.
Right. I agree.
But this actually reminds me, I'm going to spend some time today listening to One Direction. You know,
Will you be on the website?
No.
With their interactive timeline?
I don't think
so. An immersive digital experience?
And I don't think I'm going to immerse myself in their social activations either.
You're not going to immerse yourself.
I don't think so, but I actually went to a One Direction concert when they were touring in America at MetLife, and it was literally one of the most incredible concerts of my life. Me and Ben went, and 5 Seconds of Summer opened for them, and me and Ben didn't really know who they were, except they sing that song, I Wish I Would Wake Up With Amnesia, and it was like kind of big in the States, and like a couple people knew it.
States.
Yeah, no, I'm such like a British One Directioner, the States. And so like some people knew it, and I like kind of knew it, and I'm like, damn. And that's where the One Direction concert was amazing, but mostly because it introduced me to 5 Seconds of Summer, who I still stand to this day. Mm-hmm. And that concert was like one of the highlights of my life. Like, I was being so annoying to Ben. Like, Ben actually likes One Direction, but like I was taken to another level. Like, I made him get us like literally the best seats. We listened in the car ride home. I mean, the car there, like every single album, it took us forever to get there. There was so much traffic. Ben was literally the only man there. It was just fabulous.
Fabulous. Sounds like a fabulous evening.
It really was. Like, that makes me miss concerts so much. Like, that was like one of the best. I've had some of the best nights of my life, actually, at MetLife Stadium.
I have felt pure elation.
Pure joy.
At concerts.
What is your most memorable concert in the last
few years?
5 years.
Maybe Rascal Flatts with Dan and Shay opening at Homedale PNC Bank Art Center, which is my favorite venue. And by the way, I don't like MetLife.
Oh, I mean, getting there is torture, but... Sometimes the only place you can see your favorite artist.
You can see Taylor Swift is at MetLife.
I saw Ed Sheeran there. I saw One Direction there. I have to say that probably the most formative concert of my recent life was 1989.
Oh, that was a great one.
And we had amazing seats. And it was just an explosion of color and joy and sparkles. And it remains my favorite concert and my favorite Taylor Swift album.
Yeah, it's a great album. I've been doing rides to her albums, and it's making me realize, you know.
The
it's
talent.
It's making me realize things. It's been a year of realizing stuff for sure.
Kylie was onto something when she said that.
Yeah, and that 1989 is it's like it feels overrated because it got so much play, but it's rated. It's what it is. It's not overrated.
No, it feels overrated because of songs like Blank Space, which literally became...
But Blank Space is sickening.
No, and it's sickening, but it's not even scratching the surface on the genius that is 1989 Clean. Like, there's just so many... Wonderland. There are so many brilliant, brilliant,
Preach.
Unbelievably
Preach.
Sickening, stunning, and smart songs.
Beautiful, stunning, and smart.
And I just love that era in general. I feel like it makes me sad, though, to think, like, Taylor doesn't look back on that era positively because it was the one right before, you know, the whole snake drama. And she got so much shit back then for her girl gang when she was, like, just trying to, like, be popular. And I think she probably has a lot of regrets about that, which makes me really sad. Oh, I'm sorry, Wildest Dreams. Like,
sickening.
Whatever album Wildest Dreams is on has to be the best Taylor Swift album.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. Wildest dream. And you know, Taylor has like DVDs for all the concerts, mm-hmm. except for Red, mm-hmm. because Red was filmed by Terry Richardson. Remember him?
Yeah.
And he, as they were editing it, it turned out he had multiple counts of sexual assault come out against him, and Taylor did not want to be a part of that and didn't want him to like profit off of her music. So she never released it, which I never got to go to the Red concert, and I don't even know what it looked like or like what it was about. It's like such a mystery to me. And I found like someone had like professionally filmed it and sold it on Amazon, and I literally got it and I plugged it into my DVD player, and it was legitimately from someone's iPhone. Stop. In like the bottom of the pit, and like I could not see anything. I did watch the whole thing.
Did you get a vibe for what the
I got nothing about? It was so blurry, like I literally got nothing, and I'm like, I can't believe Amazon has the nerve to sell this product on their website. It was literally like homemade.
Damn, well, you tried.
I tried so hard.
Okay, ready for our next story? Another girl we love, who's doing well, Cameron Diaz, says her daughter Radix is, quote, the best thing that ever happened to her and her husband, Benji Madden.
I love her so much.
So much. And she is loving motherhood.
I'm so happy for her.
The actress opens up about life as a parent during Wednesday's broadcast of The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, saying in an exclusive sneak peek of the episode provided to People that six-month-old daughter Radix is the best thing that ever happened to her and her husband. Quote, it's been heaven, Jimmy. She cusses to host.
I fucking love her.
To host Jimmy Fallon, explaining that her daughter is growing so fast that she now understands why friends who have kids previously told her to cherish this time.
Yeah.
Quote, literally every single day there's just leaps and bounds, and she's not the same baby that she was yesterday. Oh my God, that's how I feel about Snitch
Michaela. Yeah, me too.
Where was yesterday? Yesterday is literally gone, and today is a new day, and tomorrow will be a new day. No, that she's completely a different baby.
She's obviously talking about Michaela. Like, she's obviously met Michaela, because every time Olivia sends a picture of Michaela, I'm like, who is that child? She's so different.
Every time I see her, she's so different, so worldly, so mature. She's just, it's like the song. Growing, we do it every day.
We're growing in the evening and even when we play. I mean, I have a lot of resentment for like the current state of the world, because I can't see Michaela every single day, and I feel like I'm just missing out on like such an important time in her life. But we are going away together later next month, and I cannot wait to wake up with her every day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
And like, I'm just gonna become her mother, I think.
Yeah, no.
If that's okay with Olivia.
We'll be like in full anti-mode.
Yeah, no, and I want to be helpful. Anti-mode
activated.
I want to be anti-mode.
Activated.
I'm so excited, like, and I just love her, and I feel Cameron Diaz on this, you know?
Yeah.
I feel it hard.
I feel it so hard.
And I love Cameron Diaz.
Like, I love her.
She's a Hollywood treasure.
Treasure. Every movie that she's in, good or bad, you know, on the film side, is fabulous, made fabulous by her presence.
Agreed.
And it took me a long time to realize that, and I rue the years that I spent not appreciating the talent that she is.
And I rue the years that I spent just associating her as like a Katherine Heigl, Kate Hudson. Like,
Jennifer Aniston.
She is so much more than that. Like, she is a goddess.
I agree.
And I think the other woman obviously had a lot to do with that. But then I think that maybe we didn't realize at the time how formative she was in our childhood experience with her participation in the Shrek franchise.
Yes.
As Fiona.
Yes.
So I don't know. I just think it's worth mentioning every now and then that Cameron Diaz is not made for this earth.
I agree. Well, I'm glad she's having joy. Fifth and final story, a little news in the streaming wars. HBO Max reached 4.1 million subscribers 1 month after their launch.
Wow.
That sounds pretty solid.
Very solid.
HBO Max attracted 4.1 million overall subscribers after its first month. AT&T CEO John Stankey said on Thursday, lauding his team for a flawless launch despite the novel coronavirus pandemic.
Wait, AT&T CEO?
Yeah.
Launched HBO Max?
I guess they own HBO. The figure includes more than 1 million wholesale customers from AT&T packages that include HBO Max. They have a collab, and
that's a little bit of cheating.
I'm sure they, you know.
It's a little cheating.
I'm sure there's ownership crossover.
So they gave it, like, free for a month to, like, a million.
Yes.
AT&T customers.
And then 3 million customers were normal retail subscribers.
Well, you know, the streaming wars, let's get an update, because we've been talking about the streaming wars for a while. And since then, Disney Plus has come out, HBO Max has come out, Quibi has come out. Anything else?
Peacock,
yes. Oh, I forgot about that. So where do you stand? I am a Peacock subscriber. I'm a subscriber to Disney Plus. I was momentarily a Quibi subscriber, but I didn't end up using it. And then I was never an HBO Max subscriber because I wanted to be, and then I just forgot.
Yeah, so for me, it's like whatever someone sets up for me, mostly my husband.
Or Olivia set up our Disney Plus.
Right, like I have Disney Plus, therefore I use Disney Plus. Right. I think if someone could come over and set up HBO Max and Peacock for me, I would be watching them every day.
Peacock is so worth your time. You literally just put in your email. First of all, it's totally free. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, because they have ads.
One commercial per episode.
Fabulous.
Fabulous.
Okay, as long as I don't have to like steal, like get a login. No. And try Jackie, and remember my password.
They have Bethany Ever After on there, and I watched it. And they have literally like Rachel Zoe Project. They have so many iconic Bravo moments. It is such a fabulous platform.
Okay.
I'm so impressed by the whole thing because I'm like, who needs Peacock? Actually, I do.
Okay, that might be
and
my
free
weekend.
Is free.
Free is free. Yeah, no, as long as I don't have to like remember a password, I'm down. So I will definitely do that this weekend.
It was
find
so
some
easy.
Hidden treasures.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, I think of like all the things that launched recently, I think the most successful was Disney Plus. I heard the figures were like crazy.
That's great.
And I haven't heard yet about Peacock because it's so new, but HBO Max is considered a success. I don't think Quibi was considered a success.
No.
So good luck HBO Max. It is a little steep price wise. It's like $14.
Oh, but you get Friends.
But I bought Friends for $60 on iTunes and I own that forever. And a couple months of 4 months of HBO Max is the same price as Friends. But I am going to want to watch the Gary Gennetti cartoon.
Yes. Happy birthday, Prince George.
Oh, and I'm definitely going to want to watch Selena Gomez's chef cooking show. Like, I don't know how I can live without that content.
That was made for you.
No, that was truly made for me. Like, I love to see celebrities, you know, diving into a hobby that I've never heard that they like to do, you know?
Yeah. No, that's exactly what we're looking for from our celebrity content.
So Jackie did not get a chance to watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So we'll do a full recap tomorrow. I just want to say the episode was unbelievable.
Okay.
Brandi Glanville actually gets choked up. Like, and like, there's obviously this like setup scene where Brandi is brought in to like deliver some news.
Yeah, the one in Kyle's house, like they're just sitting around.
Yeah, no, it's like Kim comes off to drop off dresses and Kim's like, I have to go. Brandi's in the car. We're going to dinner for her birthday. And Kyle's like, Brandi's in the car. Bring her in. Like, it's so fake, but they had to orchestrate it in some sort of way. And I wasn't mad. But like, when Brandi is just like sitting in the car and not supposed to be on TV, she's mic'd up because you can hear her being like, oh, like, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so funny how that crazy bomb is literally delivered in front of Teddy Mellencamp, who is just ill-equipped to handle that kind of information. Because Brandi was like, we hooked up. And Teddy's like made out? No, Teddy. Actually, no. And then this weird thing happens where after that conversation, like the last 2 minutes, zoom to 24 hours ahead. Like literally you see them quickly get on a plane. Like it's all in hyperlapse. And they're literally in a car going from the airport in Rome to their hotel talking about what Brandi told them to the other women.
Got it. So Brandi told them the day before this big trip where all the women are going to be there. So it's like, and Denise, I'm assuming, is going.
Denise and Garcelle are on a flight later. So when the ladies are already in Rome going to the hotel, they Denise and Garcelle are just getting to LAX.
And all the ladies know.
They just started to tell Lisa Rinna because they split up in the cars.
Got it.
Like, literally, it was the first chance they got to tell her. I feel like maybe they would have warned the women on the plane when they weren't
being filmed.
Just like to be like, hey, I'm about to tell you something crazy. Like, it is a shocking piece of news. I feel like maybe they gave Lisa Rinna a heads up.
She is an actress.
And by the way, they all have acted. So it's like, it's hard to know. Because Kyle was actually being a really good actress when Brandi, like, came into her room. Like, it was so dumb. But it was a really, really good episode. And also something really interesting that happened. I don't want to spoil too much. But you got the tail end of Kyle's party. First of all, Brandi gets absolutely shit-faced. She cannot stand up. Literally, her legs don't work. And you see her literally fall 400 times. I've actually never seen a person so drunk. And then you find out later why she got so drunk. And she was, okay, like, just really anxious to be around Denise and Aaron. But one of the interesting parts of the episode was hearing Brandi talk to Adrian Maloof. Because, you know, last we left them, Adrian Maloof was furious at Brandi for saying on TV that she had a surrogate. They even blurred it. It was never actually said on TV because Adrian was suing the network. Like, it was so much drama. And then we found out later that it was Brandi, in fact, saying surrogate. But she literally, while she's so drunk, she's pouring drinks for everyone. And her and Adrian are being pleasant with each other. And in her confessional, she's like, honestly, I did this horrible thing to Adrian. And she's still, after the show, always been nice to me when I see her out. Like, and she obviously felt so bad about it. She got, like, so choked up. And she's like, I never said I'm sorry. And I really am sorry. And then she, like, blamed it on Lisa Vanderpump manipulating her. Because she was like, you know it wasn't my idea. And Adrian actually was like, yes, I do know that. But Brandi still said it. And it was obviously something very personal that Adrian only told Brandi because they used to be such close friends. And it was a really sweet, tender moment.
Okay.
And just like an interesting flashback, I totally forgot that like they had beef.
Yeah. Okay, that's so exciting. I can't wait to watch. Was New York's on tonight?
Tonight.
Okay.
So we'll recap it all in total tomorrow. But the oh my God, why can't I remember his name? Brian, who writes the recaps?
Moylan.
Brian Moylan. Recap is sensational.
Okay.
Sensational.
Can't wait. Wow. Exciting.
That is all we have for you guys. And if there's nothing else, I would like to thank you guys for watching The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we post YouTube videos Monday through Friday. And we're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox. Our video podcasts are now available on Spotify. So if you love listening to podcasts on Spotify, you can now watch us. And if you like watching us, you can now also watch us on Spotify on your mobile device, which is very exciting. And that's it. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
We will see you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.